Yo, the podcast people, it's the one and only Legend of Winning, aka Lo, and you are definitely right. I do this as if I'm uploading a video. I don't know why I do it like that. Yo,
I told you.
Shout out to everybody who listens to the podcast. Shout out to all the people who continue to show us support. We're going to upload this, or I'm going to upload this as soon as possible. So let's go ahead and get right into this.
Whoa. You went from we to I. What happened there?
Because I'm the one who uploads them. Yo, agent, say what's up to the people, cuz.
Lo, we haven't been. It's been a week, man. I mean, this is a career high for us, man.
Has it been a week? We uploaded on Saturday.
Alright, it felt like a week.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Just Lo, I care about you so much, man. It just feels like, you know, it's been like so long. There's actually, I don't know if there's a lot to talk about. There's definitely, you know what, there is.
I'm going to say yes. No, there is. There's a few things to talk about.
Alright.
Is that your intro? You're not going to say what's up to the people?
They know who I am. I'm the main character, man. They don't need an intro for me.
You're the sidekick.
Yeah, you're the one who has to introduce himself. Everybody knows me, man.
Stop. So, I guess it's been a second. So, what do you want to start? You want to start on the juicy of the playoffs or the All NBA teams, all defensive teams, all rookies? What you want to do? You want to talk about how Doc Rivers gets another chance at coaching?
I don't know why he gets more chances of coaching. If Van Gundy's gonna get fired, Doc should be gone too. They're doing an equally bad job, those two.
I'll give Doc Rivers the benefit of the doubt this year. I still feel as if though they need to just go in different directions in general. Because last year he wasn't that bad of a coach.
He was though.
No, they almost made the playoffs and they lost both Chris Paul and Blake. And that's pretty impressive.
Are we gonna crediting Doc with the success?
Why not?
I don't think it has anything to do with Doc. That's the reason why.
He doesn't have anything? Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'm sure it plays a part. I just think the Doc had... He wasn't about... So they have this team. They have this roster. And obviously, CP3 moves away and you think that they're just going to completely bomb. But they had good pieces, man. And it's not the craziest thing for good pieces to step up when it counts. I think they should have made the playoffs. I think Denver Nuggets should have made the playoffs. And I think two Eastern Conference teams should have been kicked out the playoffs that didn't deserve to be there. That being said, I don't know if that's grounds for a contract extension. I could think of five coaches off the top of my head who I would rather have coaching for my team if I was the Clippers. But who knows? There's obviously the intrinsic value in that he knows the players. There's probably some sort of development in terms of the relationships, right? And so maybe they didn't want to throw that all away. I don't know. But we're seeing a lot of teams do it. Toronto being one, Van Gundy being another. We saw Vogel get fired, and nobody's even picked him up yet. On top of
Coach Bud got fired too.
Yeah. So I think those are all more deserving coaches. We could both agree than Doc. But I mean, whatever. The Clippers want to do what the Clippers want to do. It'd just be a tragedy, Lo, if the Clippers went back to being a bad organization for an extended period of time. Even when they had like Maggette and Kamen, they were still the inferior team. Man.
I was about to say they were still bad. I thought you were gonna say something else. So I was like, bro, they were still bad when they had Maggette. They had like maybe like a year or two when Elton Brand was there, and Kamen was there too. But like, bro, for the most part, the Clippers low key hadn't been good. Like outside of this last 5 year stretch, the Clippers haven't really been great for like a really really long time.
Yeah, they definitely shouldn't take for granted the fact that they've seen success with the team that they had. They gave away their franchise player. I know it's going to sound weird to call Blake Griffin a franchise player, though, but that's what he was. They signed him as a rookie. They've been ride or dying with him. Folks, like, he's been a Clipper his whole life. They threw him away. Chris Paul left. And so DeAndre is really the only person left. I mean, they got arrested a team, but I'm talking about the core here. Hey, the Clippers, I hope y'all know what you're doing, man. Not too much evidence that's been the case over the course of history, but let's judge them on now, not on history. Doc Rivers, he might be able to pull it off. Lo, I want to talk to you about this All-NBA team drama. Kyrie's
not. Is it drama?
Damian Lillard is on the first team.
Do you think he should have got first team? Dame should have been on first team?
Not even remotely.
Not remotely? That's kind of a stretch.
There's many fantastic guards in the league. And I get that it's a regular agent, but it's a regular season trophy.
It is. All right. As a side note, it is. But go ahead. Keep going.
But are you saying Damian Lillard was one of the top two guards over the course of the season?
I guess I'm trying to like, I'm trying to figure out why they did it. I'm assuming because Curry and Kyrie missed so many games. That's the reason why. Because people on Twitter are trying to like justify it by saying that the reason why he's first team is because of the team success. The reality is, it's not like their team success was on the same scale of Toronto in the Eastern Conference or even Boston in the Eastern Conference and all the other teams in the Western Conference that they were only like one or two games ahead of everybody else below them. Like the Trailblazers, if they had lost like two or three more games, because that's the only thing that separated them from the eighth seed, they would have been eighth. So you're telling me if they had lost one or two more games, that would have bumped Damian Lillard from first team to third or potentially not even making an All-NBA team? That to me is kind of, yeah, that's kind of suspect. Because statistically speaking, it's not like he had a season that was like far superior than everyone else. And so now that's basically what they're saying. Either by default, because Curry and Kyrie missed so many games and then they gave it to him, because of team success. But then again, the team success was so minimal that I can't
see the logic. So take this. If we're not going to factor in the playoffs, I don't see how Russell Westbrook isn't over Damian Lillard. Even like the only reason
stop. Let's chill for a second.
About it. Because even though the Trailblazers ranked three, if you're only looking at seeding, you would immediately agree without a shadow of a doubt that, of course, the Trailblazers had the much better season led by Damian Lillard. But they only had one more win than the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's only one more win.
So there's not much difference between the two. I just don't see how, if it's exclusively off the season, how Westbrook doesn't get in the first team. It just feels like they're trying to make up for the fact that Dame's been getting snubbed left and right from all kinds of All-Star games over the years, which we could agree he should have made at least a few of those. So it might be, it's a little bit of makeup. You know, in the NBA, when they miss a call, they're making it up on the other end by missing another call to kind of even it up. It happens all the time. That might be what's happening here, because I like Dame, and I'm sure he believes he's a first All-NBA, but you're basically saying he's a top two guard if you agree with that statement. And I disagree. He was a top two guard, even if we're looking at just the season performance of the 17-18 season. Not possible.
Now let me say this as well, and this is the problem. This is the bigger problem I have with the All-NBA team, and we don't have to spend too much time on it, but we're just at a point now where I don't understand why we're still restricting players receiving certain accolades and awards based off of position. Like, if you play a certain position, you're more favorable to get an All-NBA team over somebody else. And to me, that's the part that doesn't make any sense. Kyrie not making the All-NBA team, but Towns making the All-NBA team just because Kyrie Irving is a guard and there's not enough spots where Towns is going up against inferior competition in his position, that doesn't make any sense to me. They just need to get rid of positions, or B, they need to restructure the way that they're voting people in. Because if you look at it, and I did look at it, you got players such as Anthony Davis, who's getting votes for both the forward position and the center position, which is crazy. And then you got Jimmy Butler, and I want to be clear about this as well. I'm not debating if Anthony Davis or Butler should or should not be on the list. All I'm saying is, players like Butler and Anthony Davis, they have a massive advantage because they play indeed two different positions. So Butler, he got votes for the guards and the forwards because he can play both shooting guard and small forward. But if you're a guard, or even a shooting guard like Oladipo, you're only going to get votes for the guard spot. And if you're a center such as Rudy Gobert, you're only going to get votes for the center spot. And moving forward, because realistically speaking, let's just be honest, and we had this conversation before, and we will continue to have this conversation. The NBA right now is just the most talented it has been, in my opinion, in its history of the game, and that makes sense as time continues to progress. And so, if the argument is Kyrie didn't make it because he was injured, or Curry didn't get hired because he was injured, then what's going to happen next year? And not saying that everyone's going to be healthy, but John Wall's going to play a full season. Kyrie's going to play a full season or more games, and so is Curry. And then if DeMarcus Cousins, being optimistic, he comes back and he plays more games, and we have Kawhi Leonard, he's going to come back too. Like, you're not going to get rid of, and then Ben Simmons gets better as well. You're not getting rid of the argument or the debate of we just need to get rid of positions because there's going to be more guards that's going to come back and it's going to play better. So you might as well just get rid of positions anyway and just trim out the fat of certain forwards and bigs making selections just because either A, they are playing at that position, or B, because they can play or be claimed as two different positions. So just get rid of the positions and just make it 1 through 15. And the same thing with the all-defensive team as well.
So, Lo, I got an interesting question for you. Now, weirdly enough, when you look at these lists, is you could tell, like, the best players aren't on, like, you're not going to find the top five players in the league on the first team, of course, especially you're considering injury, performance, people were streaky at certain parts of you, whatever. I think we could both agree that the first team would dominate the second and third team if they played a game. But more interestingly, Lo, a better question, I think I would rather have the third team. If you had to choose teams, I'd rather have the third team winning over the second team if you gave me that option. So on the second team is Westbrook, DeRozan, Giannis, Aldridge, and Embiid. On the third team is Curry, Oladipo, Butler, Paul George, and Karl-Anthony Towns. So a third team, like, they got all kinds of lockdown defenders, right? Three off rip. I think all three of those guys were on the all-defensive team too, right?
I don't think... No, George nor Butler made the all-defensive team.
Yeah, they did.
I'm almost 100% sure. Okay. I know for a fact PG did not make an all-defensive team. He did not.
Nope, okay.
He did.
So, I mean, anyway, regardless, Lo, between the second and the third team, they're playing a game. Let's say it's All-Star weekend.
Oh, I see what you're saying because I saw this on Twitter as well. I agree with you. The third team is, I wouldn't say they're better than the first team, but they're definitely better than the second team. And that's another conversation that we need to have. Are we going off of, and again, I don't understand why the NBA does this, but are we going off of narratives and popularity? That's the reason why certain people are getting votes over the other, because if we're talking about strictly who's better or even who had the more impact on their teams, the second team is better the third team is better than the second team. Like, I just don't see how DeRozan, Giannis, especially Giannis. Giannis is especially questionable for his team to finish that low, and yet he's supposed to get that high of a selection. But it's very interesting to see how they're voting for it. Some of which makes sense, others don't make sense, because even if we're going off of team success, DeMar should be higher than Dame, no?
Of course.
So it can't be team success, but it can't be statistical success, because Dame didn't have a vastly superior statistical season than Russell Westbrook did or even Curry. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's a compilation of multiple aspects, apparently you're putting, like you said, team success a little higher. I don't know. It's weird to me, because again, I'm not debating if Dame should be on the list or not, because I don't mind him being on one of the teams. It's just his selection at first team is kind of questionable. Along with the fact that, again, the position thing is killing me, especially when players have like four opportunities to make it when other players only have like one or two spots on each team.
All right. Anyway, we'll move on from that, Lo. They also announced the all-defensive first and second teams. And a lot of what we were expecting, maybe some oddballs. So on the first team is, of course, probably, in my opinion, defensive player of the year. Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, Oladipo, who led the league in steals. Jrue Holiday.
Shout out to my man Oladipo!
Come on, Lo. I know you just bandwagging him this year. Chill out. And Robert Covington, which kind of caught me off guard.
Chill out. That threw me off.
You don't think so?
No. Not first team. No. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I could see you putting like a Jimmy Butler there.
Butler could easily make it over Covington. What the hell?
Yeah.
Stuff like that is just ridiculous. But keep going.
So on the second team, of course, Joel Embiid, Draymond Green. I mean, that caught me because he was almost like people were saying he should have been defensive player of the year, but he's only on the second team. Al Horford, of course, DeJounte Murray. Did he play like 20 minutes per game this year? But he found his way on the all-defensive second team. And, of course, Jimmy Butler. Very close, though, was Chris Paul and Paul George, who just barely didn't make it. Kevin Durant and Giannis also got a lot of votes.
Giannis got way too many votes. I feel like Marcus Smart should have got more votes than Giannis. Be honest with you.
I actually agree with you on that. But maybe that's just – you know what's crazy, Lo? We talked about this in the last podcast. I don't know if it's just Marcus Smart stepping up now, but over the course of the season when I was watching the Celtics play, he wasn't performing like this. This is like a Marcus Smart if you gave him a +5 attribute boost in NBA 2K. He's just doing everything better. And we'll talk about the Celtics series for sure. Anyway, you're right. Maybe he should have been on there. When you put a player like DeJounte Murray on there, who some people don't know, but a lot of people definitely don't respect or recognize as like a top player in the league, at least not defensively yet. And you snub players like Chris Paul or Paul George. You got to be extra super duper sure.
I don't mind Murray being on there either, because I think he is one of the better defensive guards. And I think that's just casual people who don't know what they're talking about making those conversations. Because quite frankly, let's say hypothetically speaking, Jrue Holiday and the Pelicans didn't make the playoffs, and Jrue Holiday was selected over Chris Paul. People will have a problem with that. The only reason why people are okay with Jrue Holiday, maybe not the only reason, but a big reason why, is because people were able to see Jrue Holiday defend Damian Lillard. And so it was like, oh, wow, Jrue Holiday, you know, everybody had that moment like, oh, wow, Jrue Holiday's really that good. Like, yeah, he's been that good. Jrue Holiday's been that good throughout the entire season. And so the same thing with Murray. Too many people just are unaware of him.
I don't think I've ever seen a player with 20 minutes per game get into any of the defensive teams. You have to be fantastic to not only not have a recognizable name, but also not even play. Like, he's not playing. He never played 30. Like, he's not playing most of the game. So the majority of the game, he is on the bench, but he's still on the team. I don't know, Lo. If he's that fantastic defensively, I'm just saying maybe he should have got some more minutes.
True, I guess. Before we keep going, yo, show me, you got the results?
Like, who for got what? Yeah, I got all the votes and yo, everything.
Let me, send it to me in the chat real quick, because... Oh, no, I got it right here. Because this is the part, yeah. This is the part that I really want to point out. So, for the people who got votes on the all defensive team, let me point out a few players, and this is the reason why it is so hard to take some of this shit serious. Damian Lillard got a vote. LeBron James got a vote. Mm-hmm. Will Barton got a vote.
Fred VanVleet got a vote.
Fred VanVleet got a vote. Gary Harris, 3 votes. Ricky Rubio, 4 votes. And I think Ricky Rubio is a fine defense player, but he should not be in the conversations of defense player of the year. All defensive team. Russell Westbrook.
He should have 0.
7. 7. He should
have 0.
7 all defensive team votes. A player that anybody who spends any time watching OKC play basketball knows for a fact that with someone who has 2 players who play great defense at an elite level, Westbrook rarely plays defense, sags off his man to go grab the rebound. Oh yeah, Steven Adams as well is a great defensive player as well. Russell Westbrook should not be anywhere remotely close to this. Shout out to Josh Richardson and Klay Thompson, because unfortunately, because again, the way that this is structured, and I have no idea why there's not 3 all defensive teams, but Josh Richardson and Klay Thompson, who I think they're better than Robert Covington, to be completely honest with you, on a defensive end, they will never receive any type of all defensive team selections because the way that it's structured. And that's crazy to me.
So, I mean, we know that there's definitely some suspect defenders that I don't know who it is voting. We need to find out. And I saw some people on Twitter trying to do some investigative analysis to figure out who on earth are making these votes. Who were the ones who made these ridiculous votes, like giving Damian Lillard a vote? But Andre Roberson, like, he played like half the year and he has 17 votes, Lo. So, yeah, I mean, there's at least
that's questionable.
17 too, people you can make the argument that since he was gone, the defensives, like, maybe they've struggled defensively, and so that's why he's that important. But if you play that little, if that's part of the reason why a player like Embiid doesn't get selected for Rookie of the Year, then we gotta have some sort of standard where it's not everybody just voting based on their impulses. There's no level of objectivity. You're just giving everybody an opportunity to vote. Then you're hoping that they have a standard of analysis that's consistent across the board so that we get some sort of accurate results. Now, at the end of the day, the only people this should matter to is the players, right? The players are going to feel some sort of way if For example, if Oladipo wasn't even on both of these teams, you'd be like, he was fantastic for that team on both ends. The team overperformed. Nobody expected him to do that. And so if he wasn't there, you might see the players getting a little frustrated. I'm sure you'd be texting each other back and forth talking about, man, I can't believe I'm Draymond and I made the second team, even though I've accomplished this, this, and this. But, man, Every year it's like this, though, man.
The thing is, I don't have a problem with Roberson getting it. I more so have a problem with the other players because not saying that Murray should have made it or should not have made it over Chris Paul, but Murray finished with 80 total votes and Jimmy Butler received 79 total votes. And also as a side note, Jimmy Butler, just like in the all NBA team, received votes for guards and forwards. It's ridiculous, but that's how it is, right? Chris Paul finished with 74. So the miscellaneous Russell Westbrook with his 7 votes that he should never receive, Fred VanVleet with his 1, Damian Lillard with his 1, those easily could have went to other players to put them on the all-defensive team. Now, for the most part, I feel like the all-defensive team is fine outside of Covington, but I'm somewhat okay with that. I'm just annoyed with how anyone could justify why Damian Lillard should receive an all-defensive team vote over the plethora of players that you could have selected. That's the part that really annoys me. And again, just make an all-defensive third team. Just make one. I don't know why we're waiting for that, but just make it.
Yeah. That's interesting how this league operates. Whatever. At the end of the day, they're just awards. It's not like they've won anything of meaning, like a championship. It's just something that's going to... You know how, like, when they're in the Olympics, low, and they have, like, all these badges on their shirt signifying all their trophies, like the finals MVPs? Like, that's really the only time this will matter. Or if somebody's having, like, a greatest of all time debate, which people are having so frequently, low, that it's been driving me crazy as of lately. Aren't you sick of talking about, like, he's better than this guy because of this and this? And then you see the guys repeating the same old, like, cookie cutter response, even though it's something that's taken out of context.
Or sometimes they don't know what the hell they're talking about and the stuff that they're spitting out is lies. Look, I'm gonna tell you, right, for the people out here listening, I'm coming for Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright's ass in my next video. Like, I'm done.
I'm telling
you
should make videos, like, criticizing those guys. They say so much ridiculous shit. I'm done.
Because the stuff that Colin Cowherd said in his top 10 video was so ignorant that I don't know how anybody can take him serious. When you get to a point where you're saying that D-Wade not only was the best two guard in the NBA for a 10 to 12 year stretch, when he's only played in the NBA for 15 years, and he only has 8 all NBA teams, let alone 2 first all NBA teams, but you know, never mind that. When you get to a point where you're comparing Klay Thompson and D-Wade and saying that they're the same player, but Klay Thompson is taller and who can shoot threes, that's when we have to stop having conversations with Colin Cowherd. But before we get into all that, 2 things. 1, the reason why all NBAs and all defensive teams are important to me, at least, is because I'm starting to watch some of the players that I watched growing up and enjoyed watching not make the Hall of Fame. Like, Ben Wallace is not in the Hall of Fame. Chauncey Billups is not in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think the Hall of Fame matters either.
I don't think it doesn't. It shouldn't matter to me and you. And to an extent, I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter to them because they won their championship. They made it to the final choice. They did what they're supposed to do. But it does mean something to a lot of people who don't accomplish certain things.
But you can get recognized and have respect between your peers and the media and the fans.
Well, it's not. It can't be the media because the media is the one who's voting for MVPs, all NBA teams, et cetera, et cetera. It can't be the media. It can't be your peers also, either because some of your peers are voting you in the Hall of Fame.
That's true. But, it really depends on the standards of what become like. But I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it.
The most important thing is that there's also contracts. That's another thing. They have contract stipulations. If your name is Anthony Davis and you make the All NBA first team or any All NBA team, you're getting an incredibly massive bonus. And so I guess that's just one way to motivate players to continue to strive to be the greatest, especially when you're dishing out max contracts. So I don't know what the exact number was, but I know for Anthony Davis last year, the number was like 40 million. You get an additional. And I was like, man, what? And so, I mean, the media in their hands have the power to gift these players all kinds of money. Now, listen, Lo, if I'm the media, who really cares who's on the all-NBA first and second, third team? To me, it doesn't matter. I'm going to find out which players benefit the most from having their names in there, and I'm going to just vote for them. Listen here, man. If Anthony Davis comes, if he comes across millions and millions of dollars because of a decision I made, I want to be the one to give him the, hey, go ahead, get the bag at the end of the day, right? It's the media that's voting. It's not coming out of their pocket anyway. So that's probably the only relevant reason why, I think in my opinion, at least, Lo, you're a little different. You care.
No, about no, I mean, but I'm happy you brought that up because that's true as well. I mean, they're players who are now, who are receiving financial benefits off of being on one of these teams because more than likely they're not going to be winning the MVP or whatever. So that also is implied in this conversation. It should be brought up, and I'm happy you brought it up because the NBA changed it to benefit them financially, but they have yet to recognize that there is a massive flaw in the way that players are being selected. So I completely agree with you. I think that also should play a factor into why they need to at least reevaluate or why it shouldn't or shouldn't, why it should or should not mean as much as it does right now.
Okay, so I wanted to do some fact-checking just to get the actual number while you were talking. Anthony Davis eligible for largest contract in NBA history after making All-NBA. So let me just read this out, Lo. First of all, that's a crazy statement because we just saw, like, didn't Curry get the $205 million five-year deal?
Yeah, that's crazy. So Curry, the fact that Curry, you could even... Curry took, like, a $2 million pay cut, too. That's the funny part.
Facts he did. So according to Bobby Marks at ESPN, earning the All-NBA nod in two of the past three seasons makes Davis eligible for a Supermax contract extension. Next summer, he'll be able to sign an NBA record extension with the Pelicans worth roughly, low, wait for this, $230 million. Woo! With a projected cap of $39.7 million. Oh my goodness. Then, low, he was gifted by these media members who voted him in. $25 million. That right there. See, that's enough incentive for me to vote for you. He deserved it anyway, but even if he didn't deserve it, I probably still would have voted for him, man. So, congratulations to Anthony Davis. He was the most popularized case. I don't know of any other players that have a deal this lucrative. There might be others, but this was, I remember last year thinking, wow, that's fine. Because remember he had the injury, and I was like, yo, that's really, like, what a horrible time to have an injury. Not only does he not get to play, but he has to rehab and get all back into shape and everything. And not only that, but now it's even more harder for him to get that bonus that he was looking for. Shout out to Anthony Davis, man. That is the most congratulatory go ahead, get that bag I've ever seen. $230 million. And in contrast, though, that makes the NFL look like nothing, which I think they guaranteed a career high of like $65 million or something last year. And I was like, that's it? So if you get injured, that's like the max you'll get. You know, that's crazy.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this. The thing that, on the flip side of things, if I'm not mistaken, Towns, if not now, but in the near future, will also be in that same situation. He made the third team this year. Rudy Gobert signed his contract, so he doesn't have to worry. But Gobert, let me see if Vucevic is under contract, because Towns, and I think Towns is fine, is a great player. I don't have no problem with Towns, but Towns getting it this year over Gobert, Jokic, and I mean, I guess if Porzingis is healthy next year, then even Porzingis could be in that conversation as well. Those are going to be players who at some point in their career in the near future that are going to be looking at getting that super max or whatever max is to them. Because right now, Jokic missed the All-NBA team this year, and he has one more year that's a team option for $1.6 million. But if I could be mistaken, but I thought the criteria was that if you had to be on the team that drafting you and you had to stay there and you had to be either All-NBA or one MVP or All-Defense, obviously Jokic isn't going to make All-Defense. Obviously, I don't think he's even close to being an MVP winner, but he's really close to being an All-NBA performer, though. And if they make the playoffs next year, then that puts him in the conversation should he win it. And then next year will be his last year on his contract. So that will also mean he would apply for the extension for a Supermax for someone who's getting off his rookie contract. So things like that, again, like you said, it can alter the way that certain players financially benefit what's going to happen to them. And for media members to be selecting people, not really based off of merit, but based off of some type of ambiguous criteria that they're making every single year as time continues to progress. And you're saying that, oh, well, Butler can be a guard in a, like, shit, like, come on, like, we got to get somewhere, man. Some other people who receive votes. Trevor Ariza received an All-NBA vote. Dwight.
The guy who sits in the corner.
Dwight Howard received an All-NBA vote. DeMarcus Cousins, I think Boogie is fine, but I mean, he missed too many games, received the All-NBA vote. Kevin Love, who also missed a lot of games, received the All-NBA vote. And they finished, what, fourth or fifth or something like that? Fourth in the Eastern Conference. Porzingis,
who missed... Can you believe, Lo, that there is a person who believes Kevin Love deserved to be on an All-NBA team?
And not only deserved it over either Paul George, Jimmy Butler, possibly LaMarcus Aldridge, Giannis, or Durant and LeBron, because those are the other forwards.
that is so insane to think about.
Stuff like that, and I cannot wait, because they do release the people who voted for these players. That's what I need. I need the names of these players, the name of the people who voted for them. Because Trevor Ariza, come on. Come on. I mean, I like Trevor Ariza, but come on. All-NBA? All-NBA. That's ridiculous.
He'll be the first 77 overall on the All-NBA team, man. Let him live. He just sits in the corner all game. His whole purpose is just to wait for James Harden to create an opening and just stand in the corner. That's where he gets literally all of his points, in the corner, shooting corner threes, which, by the way, is also the highest percentage shot in the NBA. So it's literally like if you gave a player All-NBA just for, like, doing pick-and-roll offense and getting to the rim and doing a layup. Not a contested layup, not one where you got to be Curry or Kyrie and knock it off the backboard with some spin. No. Just regular layup. That's crazy. And you know what's crazy, Lo? Is when they put in those votes, they knew that we were going to eventually find out that they did it, but they still did it. So that means
They still had the balls to do it. That's crazy. You're right. They had the balls. They were like, nah. Damian Lillard, he should receive an all-defensive team vote. Trust me. I watched enough games to know that he plays at that level defensively. Trust me. I know.
Do they have beat writers voting for this? It's the only person I could possibly say.
Writers, some TV analysts, and some columnists. I guess writers and columnists. But like you said, some beat writers. I know some noticeable ones. EJ, Ernie from TNT, he has a vote. I know that Chris Broussard, King Lightskin, he got a vote. I know
what'd you call him?
King Lightskin. King Lightskin.
Light-skinned. Why is he... But what?
Come on. He's the only light-skinned man killing it in sports analysts right now. Come on. You really think about it? Think about it.
So how does...
Listen, think, no, think about I'm it. Gonna... No, think about it for just a quick second. Just a quick second. How many...
I'm not going to think about it.
Think about it. How many light-skinned brothers are really out here doing it like Chris Broussard?
Oh, my God.
Think about it. I'm just telling you. But, I mean... Bill Simmons, he has a vote. Zach Lowe, he has a vote. Mark Spears has a vote. It's a few people that I think people are referring to, but there's some people. And there's some people that they took their writing votes away from them, too. So, you know, that's good, too.
There needs to be some more.
Yeah, it needs to be some more. But, yeah, I just, some of these votes, again, I knew it was going to be some crazy people, but Damian Lillard for an all defensive team, and then Trevor Ariza on an All-NBA team. Like, just think about it. Someone literally told themselves, yeah, Trevor Ariza over Paul George. That makes sense. That's ridiculous. That makes sense. Yep.
All right, Lo. Let's talk about these playoffs, man.
I just thought about it, but this is my podcast, man. Watch out. Get the fuck out the way, man. Watch out.
Before we talk about that, wait, Lo, I want to talk to you about something.
What, bro?
And this is for everybody from Canada.
Oh, my NBA. God.
Please, they changed their website recently, the Canadian website.
Oh, okay.
For the love of God, change it back. Lo, you can't see who's leading in the series. It doesn't show you the series record at all when you're looking on the website. I literally just typed in standings, And I got this ridiculous, like, you know when your internet is so slow, nothing loads up, so everything is just aligned on the left, and it just, you ever have that before?
Yeah.
Where your internet is bugging?
Yeah.
It's just that. The website doesn't work. Change it back. It was perfect before. It's like they just did that so they can get more space for advertising.
I think it's horrible. I think y'all are kind of late because it's been like that for the, for us.
Nah. I can't even go to the United States website because it'll just be like, nah, bitch, I saw your internet. Your proxy is from Toronto. Uh-huh. Caught you. And they'll redirect me to the Canadian one.
I don't know,
and
I'm like, man. Maybe you're talking about something different. But I remember when they changed it and I was like, bro, this is just the trashiest. Is this on mobile or this is on the website?
This is web, like desktop.
Desktop. I just remember they changed it on, I'm thinking about mobile. My bad. I remember they changed it on mobile though. I was like, bro, what are y'all doing? Like, y'all ain't got nothing else better to do? Like, this is what y'all doing?
Big facts. Anyway, man, I had to bring that up. Everybody from Canada is like, agent, you know, I use the NBA website. It is ass now. You're right. Well, we got to talk about the Celtics series.
I'm going to talk about it. So, watch out, man.
Oh, sorry. It's your podcast. My podcast, bro.
Yo, so first and foremost, what's up, LeBron? What you doing? Let me chill out. Yo, I think the last time we talked,
I think it was when the Celtics were up 2-0.
Celtics were up 2-0. Now, back-to-back home games for the Cavs, they ended up coming out on top of those games. Some solid performances, or at least one solid performance from like JR, Kevin Love had a few moments here and there, and then they tied it up, obviously, with LeBron playing great both home games as well. Tie the series back up 2-2. I will say this though. I'm very concerned about the Celtics because it just seems like they cannot perform on the road. And then bringing LeBron
back, that's ridiculous. Though.
And then bringing back, I don't care who it is. The fact that you think that bringing LeBron back to a game seven, you think you got a chance because you at home? You think he cares what scenery he has? That's the thing.
That's
kind of sus right
so,
there. But I'll say this though.
Okay.
Last night,
in your bag, man. What you got?
Even LeBron looked suspect last night. The Cavs, that entire team, I think they only scored like 80 points or something like that. Or like, they were stuck in the 70s for a good second. Last night, 83 points. Last night makes me believe that I don't know about the Celtics even winning next game.
And 83 is generous because the very end of the game, last 6 minutes, straight garbage time. They were a lot lower than that
before. Yeah, they were a lot lower. Kevin Love, I don't know what's wrong with you. Kevin Love is basically at a point where he's just like a 6'10 forward, small forward, who just doesn't know what he's doing because he didn't make any shots outside of like two hooks that he got close to the rim.
Kevin Love against the Raptors in the low post, murking folks, getting rebounds, banging his threes. And you see him now, he just looks like this reduced version of himself.
Well, Jaylen Brown is better than CJ Miles.
Okay, so you think that's it? First of all, the Celtics defense is fantastic. But I can't imagine it's exclusively and only because of the difference defensively between the two teams.
I think the way that they play basketball with the Celtics, which is constant ball movement, pushing the pace, and it keeps getting players off rotations, which then makes and force Kevin Love to close out or decide to close out or not. I think that's part of the reason why as well. But more importantly, I don't know why y'all didn't use that to y'all advantage because Kevin Love, that is his biggest disadvantage is that he's just nowhere near as mobile as he needs to be. But I guess, I don't know. I don't know what it is with Kevin Love because I don't know if he's the perfect example of great numbers on a bad team or he's just being misutilized. I don't know which one it is, but last night was just, that was embarrassing. That was pitiful. And then the rest of the roster was also trash. But I'm not even gonna sit here and like act like I'm gonna run off some names. This man, J.R. Smith, George Hill, this man, Clarkson came off the bench, played like 15, 20 minutes, but shot 10 times. It was like, Jesus Christ, y'all gotta cut it out. People think I was serious, but I was just playing. This man, Ty Lue, He'll have a game or two, cause the last two games he was fine, like he was actually coaching really great. But then last night, this man was just ridiculous with some of his lineups, and then he comes at the end of the game and says, well, the reason why I didn't play Kyle Korver too much is cause, you know, they didn't play, what's his name, Samaje or something like that? Some random bench player on the,
Adebayo?
Yeah, Adebayo. They didn't play Adebayo too much, so they just kinda threw a monkey wrench in my plan. Are you coaching off of Adju, whatever his name is? Are you
Adulea?
Adulea. I don't know how you say it. the fact that I don't know how to say it kind of just proves a point that he's not like someone you should be coaching off of. If you ever get to the point where you're coaching based off of the ninth man on the bench, you need to just chill out. You overthinking it right now. You really overthinking it. You're overthinking it. But
yo, it's no secret. Tyler looks clueless on the bench. Every time it cuts to him, he just has this goofy face. Like, there was this one photo of him outside his own huddle. LeBron was running shit. I'm like, man, why is he still getting paid, bro? We know who's really making decisions behind the scenes, man. But yeah, you're right. They did a fantastic job of... And though, most importantly, I was having the time of my life. Now, NBA games go on right at the time I break my fast. So usually I miss some of the game to go grab some food. And then I sit down. And what I was watching was so mesmerizing. It was the Boston Celtics with the defensive breakdown low. And their ability to quickly rotate. They didn't have to wait for one person to do. They were all moving. Everybody in motion trying to recover. And even in, and their lineup is so versatile that it doesn't matter who gets caught on the ball handler, LeBron. You could have Al Horford, Jaylen Brown. You could have Jason Tatum. You could put Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart. Hey, put Terry's ear if you want, man. And they got all kinds of defense. So even when they rotate and there's a mismatch, there's no real mismatch. And then we have low players like Aaron Baines. Now, I love Aaron Baines.
I'm gonna say it right before now. You say this, it is amazing Aaron Baines is able to get more than 10 minutes a game. That is it's a miracle that he's able to stay on the floor that long. It's ridiculous.
30 minutes. He played 30 minutes last
That's
game.
That's ridiculous.
And really, and his ability, Lo, do you know what kind of confidence you have to have in yourself to continue to get dunked on and keep trying to play defense? He keeps trying. Because Larry Nance, I believe,
almost bodied him.
You know those dunks when you play NBA Street where, like, the rim breaks and the game is over, everybody just walks home? It was one of those. Like, the Cavaliers probably would have just went home with the rim if that dunk went in. It was one of the... If if you missed the game, it was like a Superman dunk, like what Dwight Howard did in the dunk contest back. Man, he's low. Every game I tune in, he's getting dunked on. And he just keeps going. His defensive rotations, I'm like, oh, he got three blocks, man. That team... Previously, I said that I feel like they need more star players. This was before they got Kyrie. And that I didn't think their team could succeed because I felt like they had too much middle players. Like, players that could be like a 3 and a 4, potentially a 2. But they need a 1. They need a superstar, a top 5 player in the NBA. And here we are. Could we say top 10 about Kyrie? Okay. So, we have a top 10 player, Kyrie. He's not in the game. We have Gordon Hayward. Top 30 player in Gordon Hayward, also not playing. And then they just, and the confidence they have to go on the post-game conference afterwards and talk about, yeah, I could clamp up LeBron. Or, yeah, we did this and this. Like, and it's so fascinating. It's so different. And it's really just, and this really occurred to me, Lo. It's really just about culture. Some teams have a culture of winning, and that's why they continue to win. And there's other teams,
and that's why the Raptors can't win, right?
And yeah, it is actually.
What a
and
face!
It's part of the reason why plenty of teams can't win is because they just adopt the mentality that they can't win. The Celtics going into this series knew damn well they were going to win, and they're on the verge of doing it. Whether they do it or not, we'll see. And part of it, I don't know. It has to do with the home crowd, man, because. They're 10-0, I believe the number is. I know they're perfect they're at home in playoffs. That is insane. So definitely, if they could even just a little bit pick up their performance on the road, man.
I want to say this, though. Last night, low-key, the Celtics didn't really play all that great.
I mean, offensively.
Yeah, scoring-wise, they didn't.
Right.
Which is amazing to me because that means that, because I'm looking at it right now, the Celtics shot 36% from the field and 33% from behind the arc. And still
they had some serious droughts, yeah.
And still won. Because it was a drought in the fourth quarter. Towards the end of the third and in the beginning to mid of the fourth quarter, I was like, oh wow. Y'all really are not going to score. Like that's crazy to me. And so moments like that is where A, the value of Kyrie really shows, and B, makes me afraid that they're probably not going to win this series. Because if you cannot have that many droughts. And so I don't want to overreact, but that is something I definitely found out in that game. Now, the flip side of things, though, this man LeBron, it's too many ups and downs for me for LeBron. First of all, I really noticed that I really like LeBron. So for people out there who think I hate LeBron, no, I really like LeBron. And part of it is just me being a Laker fan, and I don't want to see the Celtics win. But another part of me is like, man, I don't know what people are seeing. Like, it's just like almost we're watching two different games. To you, did LeBron have a great game last night?
I missed the first half because I had to get some food. The second half, not really. Okay. No.
I mean, you missed the first half, so that kind of disrupts it. So, in the first half...
Does highlights count? I saw highlights. Does that count?
Because quite honestly, a lot of the highlights playing, that you're going to watch... I know you're just playing, but a lot of highlights that people are watching, it's first half highlights. In the first half, LeBron had 16 points, 63% shooting from the field, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers. However, both of those turnovers came in the first quarter. I watched the game, so I know exactly what happened. The second half, though, LeBron, 10 points... on 4-for-11 shooting, 0-for-3 from behind the arc, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 turnovers. And so, the way that the Cavs close it out, even with LeBron, don't get me wrong, the rest of the team was trash too. In the second half, this man Kevin Love only scored 4 points. In the second half, this man J.R. Smith went 1-for-4. George Hill went 1-for-3. In the second half, their best scorer was Jeff Green. That's how bad it was.
It has to be mental, right? Like, there's something about, like, for example, and I'll say this. If the Cavaliers win Game 6, they're winning this series. LeBron does not lose in Game 7. It just never happens. And part of it is because he gets in this zone, like a do-or-die zone. And it's like nothing phases him. Damian Lillard quote tweeted earlier this week, and somebody asked him about like, "Yo, when you're trying to make a clutch shot, what's going on in your mind? Are you scared? Do you feel fear?" He's like, "Nah, I just block everything out." He has zero fear, like no conscious.
Well, that's really not helping just, Dame. But go ahead. Let me chill.
But that's so I'm talking about that zone because it feels like. They had it against the Raptors the entire time.
No, y'all are just bad. Y'all are that bad, Agent.
But in when they go up against the Celtics, they've shown times where they could win this series. And how are they down 2-0 and here they are coming back? But I'm just saying, in Game 7, there's no doubt he's going to be in his bag. The Celtics have to win away. And if they don't, I know they're 10-0 at home, and oh, they're perfect. They play so great. They're not beating the Cleveland Cavaliers in game. I cannot see it. LeBron in Game 7 is a different animal, though. At that point, he probably wouldn't even need the rest of the team to score. He just need him to get out the way. But yeah,
I don't want to say that, though, because we saw LeBron was at Game 2 where LeBron came out swinging. He came out swinging really hard.
In that first quarter.
And he's going to have to do that for 2 consecutive games. And watching LeBron last night, he had 2 back-to-back games. Not back-to-back, but 2. Even if they were home, and even though he got some help from his supporting cast, Game 5, he looked like someone who had been in the NBA for 15 years. And I just don't know how many times he can keep doing that. And maybe he's able to find a way to get out of it this series. He's definitely not going to win in the finals, though. And I don't know what we do moving forward with LeBron because, unfortunately, and I do believe it's a bad thing that LeBron has been held to the standard or even held to the responsibility of continuing to play the way that he has been playing. And I don't think it's benefiting him at all. I know many people are like, "Well, look at the stats, but he's not winning, and that's the whole purpose. And I feel like putting that type of burden on a player to just do what he has to do doesn't aid him. It just does not help him at all.
You have to be a pretty fantastic player for when people see 26 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, they go, "Yo, he underperformed that game. Like, he could have done way better." Like, you have to reach it. Because for a lot of people, like, if DeRozan got that stat line, man, commentators are talking about it. It's going to be on TSN the next day.
I don't think so. Because he played, if you got to go back and rewatch the game or at least watch some of the turnovers. Some of the turnovers LeBron had were like, Jesus, like, what's going on with you, LeBron? Like, when I say he just threw the ball to like a Celtic player. Like it was like, all right, LeBron. And it was like two or three layups he missed. It was like, I don't know. And even they got the game, I think, within like 10 points, and they could have not necessarily win, but at least.
Nah, in the fourth quarter, the closest they got was 11.
I think the third. It was, cause in the third quarter, the Celtics only scored 18 points. I think it was the third quarter, and they got really close. Not really close, but closer than what they had throughout the entire, game. And so, or even when they got to the 11 point mark, and I was like, all right, they might be able to make it a game, but then, they just went on another stretch where they couldn't do a thing. And then even on the other end, it's not like the Celtics were even doing anything either. It took the Celtics a while to get a shot going. But I don't know. I look at that game and defensively, the Celtics were great. But on the other end, offensively, I don't know. They were heavily relying on like lucky bounces from Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart to shoot two for four from behind the arc in the second half. Things like that. I just don't know how often that's going to happen for you to win. And, I'm still waiting for a Terry Rozier game because I'm still waiting on that. And that may be the difference maker. But at this point, I'm more so betting on LeBron kind of pulling it through than a sighting from Terry Rozier or, Jaylen Brown. But shout out to Tatum. Tatum played amazing.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown, interestingly enough, is breaking records for...
You mean Tatum. Tatum is the one who's breaking records.
Oh, right. Well, both of them are, technically speaking. Literally, they keep bringing it up over and over again. Like, oh, this player in this many playoff games to score this much, the only two people to do more than that are this person and this person.
Yeah.
Yo, and when you watch TV, they give you the most, like, meaningless advanced stats. They'd be like... On Thursdays of back-to-back games when Toronto is playing the Trailblazers and the Trailblazers are home, when Ed Davis is in the lineup with Amir Johnson and Jose Calderon is starting, not on the bench, Jose Calderon shoots 92% from the free throw line. And you're like, bro, what do we do with this information that you keep giving us?
So and then finish it off with like, so I guess Jose Calderon is going to shoot great from the free throw line. Like he does every night. Like, I don't know. Like, some of that'd be killing me too. Where they'd just be like, oh yeah, cause they gave you the whole, this one, the Jason Tatum stats are not that bad because it's basically, he's the first rookie to score XYZ amount of points.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting. But yeah, those little specific stats that already tell you certain things about the players that you already know. Like when someone says like, I think it was a stat about Kyrie Irving, how many points he scored. And it's like, so Kyrie Irving is expected to score a lot of points. We knew that without you even telling us whatever. Like, I can't remember which one it was, but it was just like some obvious, like, okay, yeah, we get it. He's going to score. We get it. I get it. But I mean, yeah, shout out to the Celtics. I don't want to make this too much about the Cavs because, I mean, the Cavs just play so trash. The Celtics, they execute on the defensive end. They play the passing lane. They were anticipating certain passes. And even with them shooting poorly from the field and having a hard time finding some consistent offense outside of Tatum, They still won and they played great defensively and it was a scary game towards the fourth quarter because they just couldn't score consistently, but still got to give a lot of credit to them and Brad Stevens. And I don't know how Brad
Stevens. That's rare though.
It's rare.
For the Celtics. Yeah.
I don't know how Brad Stevens is playing Aaron Baines 29, 30 minutes. That's the most amazing part to me. There were moments where Aaron Baines and Marcus Smart were on the floor with one another at the same time. And I was like, I don't know how the hell he's pulling this off.
Marcus Smart was on some next. He was just looking at players, then deciding to pull up for three in their eye. And he would hit, and you're like, all right, that happened a couple times. Then he tried it a couple more. He breaks.
He went three for six from behind the arc. Like, he made his threes, and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this is the game we're getting. We're getting the Marcus Smart game.
When you're in the zone, man. That's how it is. Let's talk about this Golden State series.
All right, bro. Golden State. How can I say this? Kevin Durant, you're trash. So KD and come,
huh?
KD.
What'd you say?
KD played trash. KD was trash in game four. So Kevin Durant and even Curry. Curry had a moment though, but the series is tied up 2-2. The game is tonight as we record this, and Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant and company stole game one from the Houston Rockets at home and went back and was up 2-1 before game four. And it looked as if they were going to be able to pull out another game and make it 3-1 as they went on a ridiculous third quarter run like they normally do. Curry got ridiculously hot, had an amazing performance. But then after the third quarter, he went ice cold. And not only did he go ice cold, throughout the entire second half, I didn't feel Kevin Durant. And the problem with that is that sometimes that happens way too often in Kevin Durant's career, because that was definitely a game where Kevin Durant could have easily like just put his foot on their throat and was like, all right, y'all are done. Settle down. We're not going to make this a series. But credit to Houston. They kept up with their game plan. They kept up with the defensive intensity, which is something that's rare. James Harden actually played defense on Curry. Like they put him on Curry. He was out there giving his effort on Curry, and I applaud him for that. And it was a really great game coming back from a 10-point deficit while the Warriors were on a run, and it felt like they had the momentum, but it was great down the stretch. And then Chris Paul just executed properly down the stretch every single play. It was amazing to watch. Before I pass on to you, Agent, though, the one thing I noticed, though, from the Warriors is that their bench might be cut too short because Iguodala was out, so they had to give more minutes to Kevin Looney and Jordan Bell. And both of them just did not know what to do in the defensive rotations, nor did they know what to do offensively. And so it's going to be really questionable to see what they're going to do moving forward if Iguodala isn't available. But that's a game they're supposed to get. And again, like I said, Kevin Durant in the second half just didn't show up at all. And that's something you cannot do in a game of that magnitude, especially if you're supposed to be the second best player in the NBA right now.
Here's the thing about the Warriors. You have so much top-heavy talent that even when one person doesn't perform, the other person always picks up. At the very end of the game, Klay Thompson had a good shot in the corner, missed. That would have, put them in the lead or would have tied it.
I don't even think it should even gotten to that point. That's what I'm saying.
No, but then they got the rebound and Curry got the ball, and then Curry chucked up a contested shot and missed. And I just thought to myself, the two greatest shooters in NBA history just missed shots, and the Houston Rockets won the game. And I know Kevin Durant didn't really play well throughout it. And part of the reason is, and I know Steve Kerr was talking about in the post-game conference about how Iggy and how that changed their lineups and the rotations, but that's not an excuse for losing. I don't think I know he's an important player, but he's not top four. So you still have your top four important players, and then you don't have an excuse for losing the game, especially when you see a team like the Celtics handling business against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference. It was one of those games where both teams were missing. They both shot 39%. They were both around 31 and 33% three-point line. They were pretty evenly matched. Chris Paul was out there just lights out. And Chris Paul, I don't know if he can continue to shoot lights out, but he was just pulling up in front of people, just in transition and hitting threes. And I was just thinking to myself, first of all, one, Chris Paul has really stepped up in these Western Conference finals.
Which
is fantastic to see because he's had the stigma of always choking in the playoffs with the Clippers. And so that's part of the reason why he went to the Rockets. And it seems like hopefully, depending on how the rest of the series goes, he can get rid of that stigma moving on for his career and make it to the finals for the first time. I think this is just a case of the Houston Rockets were better. I know it just felt like for the first time in a very long time, Lo, that the Golden State Warriors were getting clamped up. And it's very rarely you ever see that because they almost always have somebody lighting. Like in the first series, it was Klay Thompson going on fire. Throughout the playoffs, it was Kevin Durant doing his thing. And then Curry comes back. Curry finally has a good game. And then you're thinking to yourself, how could these guys possibly be stopped? And then Houston finds a way. So I put out a tweet. I was like, this is the first time I've ever seen this, but Houston Rockets look great on defense. And some people replied, they were like, Agent, so you do just watch basketball because they've always been great. Now,
That last game, great. They were great on defense. Shout out to PJ Tucker because I think he recorded like 10, 13 boards or something ridiculous because he was down there battling with the bigs as 16. Well. 16. That's even I just underestimated how many rebounds he got. So, yeah, They were great defensively. Trevor Reeves is playing great defense on Kevin Durant. PJ Tucker is great on the boards, and they have to do that because they play such a small lineup. And D'Antoni is making a massive risk, by playing really seven players. It's really just we're gonna run out
there.
Not
a risk.
I mean, it's not a risk. No, I think it is a risk actually, because when you have that type of repetitive nature with your lineup, it makes it easier for your opponent to stop you because you kind of see all of the cards that they're holding. And so it's basically just a starting five.
I disagree.
It's a starting five, like, and Aaron Gordon and Gerald Green.
How does your strategy change if you're the Warriors low if you slide in Anderson or Luke Richard? Like, you know?
It changes because if you slot in those players, you may have to readjust the way that you close out on certain players. I think it's a risk also because of fatigue as well. But like we said though, with Chris Paul, and this is the biggest reason why I think Chris Paul is just a fantastic player, and why I hate the stigma of true point guards or real PGs or pass first PGs. Man, Chris Paul was out there as a point guard. He recognized that James Harden was not making his shots, because I think in the second half, James Harden only scored like 6 points. And in the fourth quarter, James Harden only scored 2 points. He went 1-for-4 from the field and 0-for-3 from behind the arc. And Chris Paul was like, we need scoring, so I'm going to score. And Chris Paul is something that D'Antoni may not like, but it is something that's necessary. He took it upon himself to not just attack, but knock down mid-range jumpers, because that's the only thing that they were getting, that they were giving them. And so you need somebody who understands how important it is to just take advantage of whatever the defense is giving you, not because you're just trying to score, but because it's going to force a defense to play you differently and open up the floor the next time you're down on offense, and it gives your teammates open looks. So instead of just shooting threes, you open the defense up a little bit with your mid-range jumper. Now you got a cutter cutting to the basket. Chris Paul with a beautiful baseline across the fucking baseline pass. That shit was ridiculous. I mean, Chris Paul's on one.
That was insane.
Threw it to, yeah. I don't know how anybody can even make any argument that Chris Paul isn't at bare minimum, like, one of the top three passing point guards in the NBA still. But like, Chris Paul just had moments where it was just like, he understood the magnitude of the game and understood the window was still open for them, and he just chipped away at the lead. While on the other end, they execute on the defensive end, and that's all you can do when they came out with the win. I still have the Warriors winning though. even with that being said, they definitely made it more interesting than I think a lot of people were giving them credit for. And kudos to the Rockets. I just, when you have that much talent on your team, I have a hard time believing that you're going to lose, especially because they execute properly. The Warriors just execute, and they should be able to come back and execute, learn from their mistakes, and just play better in game six. Excuse me, game five. Agreed. Game five.
Indeed, that is the case. Shout out to Chris Paul. James Harden, interestingly enough, he's had some standout games in the playoffs, but throughout, he hasn't been shooting the greatest percentage. Of course, he takes a pretty high difficulty of shots most times. But their offense is so, like, different and unique. You would see, like, Eric Gordon get the ball with 20 seconds on the clock, and then he'll just ISO, and he'll do a crossover, step back, pull up for a three. Like, he's a superstar player. Everybody on that team has a green light to shoot. And, I mean, of course it pays off when they hit. Sometimes they don't hit, and the green light is just still always there. And so I think D'Antoni gives his players the flexibility, right? So part of the thing is, like, if you're DeRozan and you get benched, imagine being a player, you get benched, right? It happens a lot in soccer. Like, if you do something, like, if you're acting out or you're showboating and your coach doesn't, he'll literally take you off. It doesn't matter if you're the best player on the field. In the NBA, a lot of the times, they just kind of let players play through it. And some coaches have the philosophy of not even calling timeouts and letting the players handle it unless they feel like they can actually give him some sort of input or make some sort of lineup change that can help the situation. But D'Antoni just kind of just lets it go. And you just see them, and when it works, it works. It's interesting that in the seven people he is playing, Ryan Anderson is not one of them. I know he's not a good defensive player, but he's been a great three-point shooter for them throughout the season. So to be able to use PJ Tucker to get defense and corner threes and get away with not using Ryan Anderson, because now you don't have to worry about who's Ryan Anderson going to guard, right? Is he going to guard Draymond Green? Draymond's probably going to take him off the dribble. Then you got to worry about breakdowns and rotations. The Rockets are too good a team offensively. And I still do think the Warriors will end up winning, but I really badly hope I'm wrong. It would mean so much to me if we just saw different teams in the finals. I'd be a really happy guy if it was the Rockets versus the Celtics. I don't even like the Celtics, but
I don't like the Celtics either, but I agree. I just want to see something different, to be honest with you. If they do lose though, if the Warriors do lose, what does that mean for KD and Curry?
What does that mean? He went there to get championships. He completed that goal.
He got a championship.
Yeah, well, he got a chance. That's what he
wanted. You said championships.
So that's. Do you remember why LeBron left Cleveland?
Yeah, I remember.
It's because. Okay, and so when he got what he wanted, I believe it was three rings.
He got two rings in Miami.
One was in Cleveland. 2012.
Oh yeah, 2012 and 2013, and the other 2016 was in Cleveland.
Okay, so when he returned to Cleveland. He did it, I think, in my opinion, to repair his legacy, almost like his brand, because a lot of people were slandering his name for going on television and deciding to leave his home city in Cleveland. There's a chance Kevin Durant does the same. I mean, but I think Kevin Durant is a good enough player where he can compete for GOAT status if he continues a very high level of play and racks up like 5-6.
But see, I disagree with you. I agree if he does that, but I disagree if he loses because. Very similar to LeBron in 2011, and maybe not to the magnitude of which LeBron underperformed.
But it would be worse.
But any time, and this is the reason why, at least in my opinion, championships mean so much moving forward because of the precedent that LeBron stated when he went to Miami, because he basically said, yo, if you want to win, do what you need to do to win. And so, because free agency is not the way that it was back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, you have the liberty to do a lot more movement in the NBA. And so, when you utilize that liberty, I battle with myself back and forth about it. But at the end of the day, you're a grown man; you do whatever you want to do. But when you make that choice and you still fail, because I feel like winning one championship last year, that will not be enough. I mean, for Curry, it might be because he already proved that he could make it to the finals and win a championship and then be a two-time MVP before Kevin Durant even joined the team. But if you're Kevin Durant and you underperform the way that he played that night and he continued to, I'm assuming that he would have to underperform for them to lose. If you continue to underperform and you end up losing, it defeats the purpose to why you went there. And it, again, puts the question on if you're even really that good because even though in 2016 when they blew that 3-1 lead, even though I'm very harsh and critical of Westbrook, Kevin Durant was on that team too. And so when you have a moment like they did, and I understand what you're saying, other players didn't play great and they would die. I 100% agree with you on that. But Kevin Durant just not showing up and just not having the impact that he's supposed to have, shooting 38%, and I'm rounding up for him in that last game, 1-for-5 from behind the arc as well. Moments like that, especially when you're on a team where your role has been reduced to basically scoring in defense. You do not have to facilitate. You don't really have to create for others, and you have a massive advantage over your opponent due to height. Those games can end up haunting you. And that, and I just want to put that out there because I'm fine with the conversation that we're having with Kevin Durant. I'm fine with it. But if they end up losing, we have to have the other side of the conversation, which is Kevin Durant put himself in a situation, chose his teammates, the team, the coach that he wanted to be on, and he still ended up losing. I know he won a championship already, but when you lose under those circumstances, I can't.
Especially with no injuries. If Curry Clay are out for whatever reason, you might be able to get away with it. Might. But, yeah, if he loses with the team he has now, that I think that'd be worse and a lot worse than LeBron's loss to the Mavericks in 2011. A lot worse.
I don't know about a lot worse, but I think it's definitely up there. I definitely.
Nah, it's a lot because at least not a lot. LeBron had the thing that he had to adapt to a new team and he was giving players new roles. Chris Bosh was an entirely new player on the team, and so the Mavericks was just out there hooping. But what you think about it, like the team was already easily the best team in the league. Without Durant, I would still have him winning a championship. But now they have Durant, They have, I mean, you can argue, is Curry 100%? Nobody's 100%. It's the playoffs, and it's the conference finals, right? Teams are tired. Some are maybe dealing with injuries, nagging injuries, and but they're still playing the games. And, like, we saw, who was it? It was in the Cleveland game. Somebody was limping, but they stayed in the game. Who was that? I'm blanking.
JR? I know JR was limping. But JR...
It might have been
JR. JR low-key plays, like, something wrong with him all the time, though, so I don't know. JR, I don't know what happened to JR, bro. He fell off the face of this earth, bro.
Yeah, I saw some people disrespecting his entire career. I was like, damn.
Oh, did you see that disrespect on Melo?
Yeah, I did. We'll talk about that right after.
I mean, no, we might talk about it right now. Who would you take? Kyle Korver.
Wait, before we say that, can we just who do you have winning? And
I still got Warriors, and I got them in six.
Okay, I have Warriors. I think I also said six. I'll stay with that.
So who do you have?
Introduce it. Man, some people might not know.
All right, people out there who don't know, somebody was on Instagram. No, it was on Twitter. No, I think it was Instagram, maybe.
It was Instagram.
Someone on Instagram posted a post and said that it's crazy and it's so funny how 15 years later that you would rather pick Kyle Korver than Carmelo Anthony for your team. Carmelo Anthony thus saw it, which means that Carmelo Anthony, he just randomly, like, I guess he just goes on Instagram and searches himself, because how would he know about this post? But okay. Carmelo Anthony then replied to it and was like, oh, no, there's no way. Yeah, that's true, man. Come on, get out of here. Wow, guys. This is what we gonna do now. This is what we gonna do now. I don't know why Melo, you're like 30-something. Get off of social media. Jesus Christ.
He replied four separate times.
Yeah, four separate. You're right. When I was doing the whole, like, wow, and get out of here, those are four different replies from Melo. Four different replies.
Yeah, and he even said, get the fuck out. Those were his words.
So that raises the age-old question. Would you rather have Kyle Korver right now or Carmelo Anthony? Think about it. Choose wisely now, right now. Who would you rather have? Choose very wisely. Everything is implied. We're talking about contracts. We're talking about attitudes. We're talking about what they do.
Korver.
Korver. All right.
The second you said contracts, it's not even
All right, fine. Let's take contracts out of the equation then, right? But still with the attitude, still with the mentality, still with the abilities as well, who would you rather have?
Korver.
Okay.
More flexibility. You can put him on the bench. He won't get mad. See these shots?
Who's just a better player? Come on, Agent. Come on. You know it's... Come on. Now you got to say Melo, right?
I still think it's Korver. He's better defensively. Oh, he's a better three-point shooter. And he doesn't waste everybody's time on pointless ISO plays. That don't ever work.
That was Agent. Now this is my thoughts on it. If we're talking about, we're implying contracts, it's obviously Korver. Because Melo, he's making way too much for anyone to overlook the fact that you would rather have Korver on your team just simply off of contracts, especially if you're only going to get, Melo only gave him like 15 points. You're going to get basically the exact same amount of efficiency, the same amount of points on better efficiency and better floor spacing from Kyle Korver. And which also means that I would pick him because of the fit. And then if we're talking about the attitude, I would pick him as well because Korver won't have a problem coming off the bench. I think what many people are failing to recognize and what Melo is also failing to recognize is that a huge reason why people are saying these things about Melo, a lot of it doesn't necessarily have to do with his abilities. A lot of it just has to do with the amount of money that he's making and the attitude that he has and the approach that he has to the game. At age, what he's like, 34, as a player who's never won a championship, as a player that's desperate to win a championship, never been to the finals, and the attitude that he has, you would have thought that he would have already won a championship, that he was a championship pedigree bred NBA player. Like, bro, you ain't never made it to the finals. Settle down, Carmelo. Settle down. And so, as blasphemous as it may sound to some people, if I was building a team and I needed both. I had an option between Kyle Korver or Carmelo Anthony. Bro, I'm picking Kyle Korver every day of the week. Especially because I'm not, it's not like I'm going to be sitting here expecting Carmelo Anthony to give me 20 plus. At this point, we're now at a point where we're just expecting Carmelo to give you 15. I can get 13 from Kyle Korver on better shooting efficiency and better floor spacing, better defensive effort. And on top of that, I would just go draft somebody or go get somebody else who will be a shot creator if you really think that's that big of a deal. Because even Melo's shot creation isn't that efficient. Am I lying?
Not at all. He doesn't shot create, really. Any space he creates, he'll still miss the shot. But, I mean, you see him in the post sometimes with the fade and it hits. Anytime he has a good start, it just gets followed by an incredibly horrible ending. His lack of consistency is brutal. You look at a player like Korver, he's used to coming off the bench after not playing for 20 minutes and being the one that has to hit the most important shot of the game. That's just what he's built to do.
Agent, you're so disrespectful, man. God, Agent. You're so disrespectful, man. You know what Carmelo Anthony did in 2009, Agent? You know?
What'd he do?
He made all the way to the conference finals, Agent. All the way to the conference.
Damn.
You know what he did in 2013, Agent?
Man, what he do in 2013?
Right, he stole an MVP vote from LeBron, from LeBron being the first unanimous. That's what he did, Agent.
You don't remember the Knicks tape?
He's a future Hall of Famer, Agent. I don't care what happened. I don't care what happened this year, Agent. I don't care what happened this year. No. I'm talking about Carmelo Anthony, big time playmaker, money. That's what I'm talking about. A 6'9" bull in the post. Stephen A. killed him when he say some shit like that, yo. Carmelo Anthony.
Yo, you sound like a Knicks fan, exactly. So I'm glad you brought up Stephen A. Yo,
Carmelo Anthony right now, bro, you would rather have Kyle Korver. Let's cut the cap.
I agree. I think 90% of listeners agree too.
But you are, Carmelo Anthony, I'm about to say, right, you already like... know for a fact. You already know for a fact someone about to be like, bro, y'all just some haters. Everybody go to sleep in a Carmelo Anthony jersey and shit. I got a Carmelo Anthony jersey too. That's crazy.
Me too, man. It was the first, second jersey.
No, it wasn't my second, first, but yeah, it was one of though.
You're like 60, so you probably have like a George Gervin jersey, Jerry West.
No,
jersey.
I ain't got none of them.
You probably got
them. I was too broke back in the day, but now you know I'm getting them YouTube checks. Let me chill out.
He's gonna flex on the listeners, man.
I'm broke.
All right, man. Totally.
Is that it?
Lo, I have a new car. That's great news. Very relevant to the podcast, of course.
What car is it, though?
Come on, man. You know I can't spill the beans yet. What's wrong with you?
Just make it there. Come on, make it a off-topic exclusive. give us a scoop, Agent.
I'm gonna wrap the car. I have to add a spoiler, and I'm gonna add.
You gonna
some,
wrap the car? That's how I know you got money. I'm gonna wrap a car.
I mean, the car right now is black, and it looks great black. But I want to make the car like a color that stands out. And then you know what I'm gonna do? Around the rims, like around the outer rim, people have like the color. So like, let's say I make the car orange, for example. I'll make the outer rim color orange, and then make the carbon fiber.
No. If you're not gonna tell us what the car is, what color are you gonna wrap it as?
I have no idea yet. I have to pick up the car.
Why wrapping it? I'm confused. Why wrap it?
You have to. I mean, it's either that or you paint it. Painting it. I was gonna spill the beans right there.
He was about to say painting costs like 10 grand.
I was gonna say painting, and then I was gonna say the brand, but nah. It would be like $10,000 to paint it. It's like $3,000 a wrap. Plus, if I want to remove the wrap, you can just use a heat gun if you want to sell the car.
Oh, you got a Tesla.
No.
Yeah, what? You do.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
You got it. Hey, Agent, I peeped the game. You hot there doing it. I see you put.
Interestingly enough, Lo, you put, I felt kind of guilty because I watched, I was listening to JJ Redick's podcast when he had Embiid on there, and Embiid said he doesn't have a car yet. Here he is, a millionaire. He said he doesn't have a car. Only thing he really spends money on is video games. And I'm like,
on
what?
Video games? You can spend like $5,000 and you would already have like all the video games. like a video game. Jesus Christ.
And it just kind of like, when I heard that, I thought to myself, like, man, look at me spending money on a car. And like this defensive player, all defensive player. Here we go, Joel Embiid, the most exciting player in the NBA. So much fun to watch. Here he is, man. He doesn't even have a car. That's crazy.
Why would he need one, though?
Why would a player need a car? What kind of shit is that, man?
Why would he?
They're not in the NBA all the time, my guy. Like, they also have a summer. Like, are you forgetting? What's happening?
Yeah, you just get Uber to take you places. It's not like they have to.
I mean, you could do that, but you also, it would be nice to drive an own vehicle. I mean, I don't even know if he has his license, to be honest. When did he get to United States?
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is true. Man, does he have a license?
He might not have his license, but, man. He might have getting.
But not only that, like, if he lives in the city, because he's probably just renting a loft. Because until he gets his actual contract money.
But say it's the off season and he wants to go to Miami or L.A.
He goes to Miami. What, he going to drive? You think he's going to drive all the way to Miami or L.A.? Or you think he's going to get a P? He going to get on the PJ. He going to get on the red eye, get on the PJ real quick. Touch down like he playing for the NFL. Get the Uber and the all black Mercedes Benz or the coupe waiting for him at the doggone at the airport. Hop in there. Hit South Beach. Ain't gonna be late. He doesn't have to drive. I'm gonna tell you right now, if I'm a millionaire, I'm not driving no more. That's dead.
But you would want to, like, you would want a Rolls Royce.
Why would I want to drive a car?
But what you're acting like driving is a chore. Like these,
so a millionaire it is. I'll be in the back making moves. You know what I mean?
No. You have a driver if you want a driver. Like, you know how Khaled hops in his Rolls Royce. You got a driver.
That's what I'm saying. He probably got a driver. Embiid might have a driver, yo.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it'd be nice to have your, like, I would want my own car at some point. Like, get like a Porsche 911 Turbo or like something super.
Oh, so that's what you got. That's what you got. You got a Porsche 911.
No, but
nah, you told him yourself. Low,
sure. I don't have that. I just saw Joe Rogan has that car. The car looks fantastic.
You're making about the same money as Joe Rogan.
Oh, totally. Yeah, Joe Rogan
crushed,
not only is a stand-up comedian.
I crushed the numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Joe Rogan, not only a stand-up comedian, has one of the biggest podcasts on earth. What else is he up
to? So Agent Zero, not only is a YouTuber, has one of the biggest podcasts on earth. So continue.
We have, this is one of the biggest podcasts. Say word. I didn't know, man. I mean, I knew the numbers were growing, man, but I didn't know it was like
and,
this.
And you streaming on Facebook. Come on, cut it out. Yeah. Cut it out, Agent. You're a Facebooker
now. You're right. I probably bought like a Ferrari Enzo or something.
I'm saying, man. I know you got the
$3 million, you know?
You got the back. what's $3 million to a billionaire? What you talking about?
Big facts. Hey, I like the way you're talking, man. All right.
And plus, you can lease it. Plus, you can lease it. You know what I'm saying? You can't wrap it if you lease it. Never mind. Okay, all right.
You could. I just told you could heat it up and remove the wrap, my guy.
That's your plan? You going out here leasing for the summer?
Nah, because I just said spoiler. You'd have to put holes in the car to add a spoiler.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you need leasing.
To fill them.
Why would you buy a car anyway, that doesn't have a spoiler? Why not just buy a car with a spoiler?
It has a spoiler. It has like a lip carbon fiber spoiler. I'm going to keep that, but I'm going to add like a wing to it, like a larger spoiler. You know?
Yeah, you're going to be looking like Tokyo Drift out here, huh?
That's exactly what the fuck I want to look like.
Wow, yeah, yo. You're so obvious.
Envision this, all right? You know, like when you're watching like Tokyo Drift and they have those wide body cars with like the bolted on side fenders? Like, and you have like the wide tires to like, yo, it gotta look special, man. It has to look special.
So that's what you trying to look like?
That's what I'm trying to look like, man.
Get out of here.
Is that crazy?
You haven't told me what car it is. If you're trying to like force a car that's not supposed to be doing that, what about the what about the front? What type of grill and bra are you gonna put on it?
You can't touch the grill because the car. It already has a carbon fiber lip on the front, okay. So it looks great. I was going to add my own lip, but why would I pay for own lip? It already has a good lip. So I'm going to just leave it the way it is, man.
What color? But just, all right, what color do you want? Let's tell me the color.
I don't know yet, Lil. I can
decide, yeah, you
man.
Do. Stop playing. What color you got in mind? Let me see. I want to figure out how loud you're going to be on the street.
Oh, low. Not only is the car, you won't even have to move the car and it'll wake up neighbors. It'll be just standing still. But when it shifts gear, when it gears up, like, there's crackles and pops in the engine, and I'm just like, oh my god, it's so fantastic.
So are you at least tell me the color though.
It's black right now. I don't know what color. I have to decide that today, Lola.
You gonna put that Toronto red on it? You know what I'm saying? That Toronto red.
You're so corny, man. All right, man. Let's end it, man.
Yo, you know what's great? You know how I know it was your podcast last time, I believe, because you didn't give the podcast a name. So I didn't give a podcast a name.
Oh, damn. You didn't give it a name.
Yeah,
I didn't.
But yo, shout out to all the podcast. We're definitely tripping. Yo, shout out to all the podcast people out there rocking us with another episode of the Off Top Podcast, better known as Corvo over Mello.
Don't ask a question, man. It's the podcast name, bro.
Okay, all right. Better known as King Corver. Yo, my agent, you got something.
You're so corny, man.
Your agent, you got something to say to the people? Your last words?
We're all praying, unless you're a fan of one of the teams, for a Celtics-Houston finals. So I'll be watching tonight. Hopefully I can see the whole game. Bro, it's so inconvenient for me to miss some of these games. And then to watch it back, you got to find the right site. And it's like, it's a whole hassle.
We didn't talk about this too. The Kobe details thing.
Oh, yeah. The curse?
Right. Not the curse thing. But they put the Kobe detail thing up on thing. And we were trying to find it. And we couldn't find it. Remember you said you put it on YouTube and they took it down?
Yeah. Keep it looking.
Yeah. You're right. I think I found a
good one.
I got you. But
Just send it to me.
But with all that being said, people, thank you all for watching. I'm bugging. With all that being said, people, thank you all for listening to another episode of the Off Top Podcast. We'll see you all next time. Peace. You're so corny.
I got it.
You're so corny.